from the live stream studios in Manhattan, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and with me, as always, is my partner here at Cheesehead TV, Mr. Corey Banky. We are joined on the live chat by Jamie Snowden and, of course, the social guru of Cheesehead TV, Mr. Alex Talish. Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap tonight?
Tonight, we are going to revel in the fact that the Bears still suck, and we'll talk with friend of the show, Tom Pelissero from USA Today about the showdown with the Vikings. But right now, time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got Aaron Rodgers.
Looking nice and relaxed.
Randall Cobb.
Two touchdowns.
Jordy Nelson.
Also two touchdowns.
And we got the bad. We got LaTroy Guyon.
Holy cow, was that bad.
Micah Hyde.
Wrap up, son, wrap up.
Devon House.
Get some longer cleats, buddy.
And we got the ugly. We got Jay Cutler.
Gotta put smoking Jay Cutler in there. Thanks for all the picks. Jay being Jay, same old Jay as old Chuck Woodson used to say. God bless him, everyone. Every one of his interceptions.
It's a party in your pants every time you get Jay Cutler on the field.
Wait, we're on a quick delay, so let's mute that.
Let's not and say we did.
How you doing, Corey?
I'm good.
Tuesday night transplants, old school.
Tuesday night, 2-2, baby.
2-2.
Gotta say, right here, sitting right here on
here in front of us
on the magic arm. Which is that's a gearhead term for those of you out there like me that are nerds.
Total nerds.
Idiots. We've got the new era coach's hat.
Come on now.
It's going to some Packer fan.
Some lucky Packer fan.
Show you TV viewer right now listener. How to win it. You're going to have to tweet. As always, everybody who watches our show knows this.
You know this. You know what's
we
up.
We want you to tweet or use your social. You want to win this hat. I'm going to ship it out tomorrow to some lucky Packer fan. And this is what you need to tweet right here. Watch Packer Transplants on at Cheesehead TV, sponsored by at Wisco Disco Beer right now. Hashtag Packers.
And, tweet it, people. Tweet it.
You tweet it.
Or put it up on your Facebook.
Put it up on Facebook. If you put it up on Facebook, make sure you link to
our
Cheesehead
page.
TV Facebook page.
The Stillman
page. While
you're
there, go ahead and like us on that page.
Yeah, just do FYI. It, people. Come on
I'm
now.
Sure everybody watching likes us on that. But
all three but, people have
right liked. Now, you want to win this hat. It's pretty cool. It's new.
The official sideline coach's hat.
I literally have only touched it. I did not put it on my head, so don't worry. and yeah, goodness. You can win it. So do it, people. Do it, people.
Absolutely do
I'm
it.
I'm going to keep that up there till we go to the next thing.
Hey, that sounds good, man. Because you know what? There are some serious news we got to get to. Serious Packers news, Corey Banky. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready for it?
Yes.
Three gentlemen on the Packers squad. After a full week of participation last week, we've got some guys who are injured. Never like to see the injured, the walking wounded. Don't like it, but here they are. We got Jarrett Boykin not practicing today because of his groin. We got Josh Boyd not practicing because of his knee. We got Sam Barrington not practicing because of his hamstring. Don't like to see that. Do not like to see it at all. However, we do have Clay Matthews as a full participant. So you do like to see that, although I think everyone who saw him on that interception return Sunday against the Bears knows that he ain't operating at full capacity. I mean, there's no way. In the old Clay
Matthews,
he got
an interception.
He did have the interception on the carom, which is great.
Thanks to Tremont.
He did run away. It was great. But the old Clay takes that to the house. I'm sorry. Remember back many years ago against Dallas in Lambeau when he picked up the fumble and outran everyone to the end zone? The old Clay would have done that. But he's laboring a little bit under the old.
Yeah, but he's getting older and wiser too.
Yeah, that's true. And
could be a little bit of both.
It could be. I think you're right. I think it is a combination. And then finally, a couple waves made today by the ex-Packer, Mr. Greg Jennings.
Oh my goodness!
Now, a lot of people tweeted it out. The guys who were on the call, you know, he spoke with the local media today, and you know. As he is wont to do, Jason Wilde went in for a little twist of the knife and said, you know, you regret some of the things you said last year. Do you regret leaving Green Bay, et cetera, et cetera? And Greg, to his credit, didn't walk it back. He said, you know, it's out there. I said what I said. I can't take it back. Then he said something very interesting. And I got to say, he referenced Green Bay and he referenced his family and how they are in a better place now in Minnesota. And when I read it on Twitter, I have to admit, I thought he had pulled a Ryan Longwell. I thought he had pulled a, we've moved to a better area. Minneapolis is so much nicer than Green Bay. You don't have to eat it in Applebee's, etc. As Ryan Longwell famously said. But if you go and listen to the audio, which is available at Packers.com, I did find it there. It's under the videos, under the press conferences. You'll find Greg Jennings talking to the local media. If you listen to it, I feel it a lot more than I did when I was reading it. Like, when I read it, I got kind of pissed. But listening to him talk about it, I totally got it. So I think a lot's going to be made the next 48 hours about this, but I do think that I totally understand what he meant, and I don't think it was this huge slight to Green Bay that it will probably be made out to be. But we'll see. Maybe it's a non-story. Maybe maybe people are better and aren't going to give it the credence, and I'm just kind of trying to get ahead of something that's not doesn't need to be gotten.
I mean,
ahead
who
of.
Cares about Greg Jennings? Not me.
There you go, Mr. Corey Behnke, laying it all out.
I just
for
don't
you.
Care. I'm sorry. You know who I'm kind of scared of, though?
Who's that?
A certain quarterback that plays for the Vikings.
Teddy Bridgewater. You should be, man. He's a good guy. Good quarterback.
Woo!
Yeah.
The Vikings are going to have him for a while.
Yeah, they are. How much does that suck?
I mean, as much as I hate the Vikings, they do kind of deserve to have a quarterback.
Well, just to make it a fair fight.
Yeah.
You know, for once. Although, if he can't go on that ankle, Christian Ponder has been practicing as though he's going to play.
Oh, my goodness.
Love that. Anyway, we'll get to the Vikings game later on with Mr. Pelissero. It's time for the new segment, Corey.
Uh-oh.
Your favorite
segment,
and mine.
The segment we don't have a name for?
We don't have a name for it yet.
Aaron just called it Vic bashing.
That's just the easiest thing to put in the script.
Well, first off, I do want to say something very, 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 very important. Throwback weekend, people.
Oh, yes.
Throwback weekend.
Get it.
You need to go to Throwback Weekend, and I'm going to tell you why, okay?
Oh,
Throwback Weekend, October 18th and 19th. We just got off the phone this afternoon with our amazing sponsor, Stillmank Brewery. Got to mention them, Wisco Disco.
Get on it, people.
Make sure that you get your Wisco Disco. So we're going to have something very special for people on Saturday. A very, very special Cheesehead TV-sponsored event at Stillmank Brewery. You're going to be a tour, the whole works. It's very exciting. But the real exciting part is Stillmank Brewery, our sponsor, our wonderful sponsor, has decided to provide all of the beer at the tailgate for Sunday's tailgate.
Did you just hear that, people?
Which is redonkulous.
Did you just hear that?
So I believe you need to get on Throwback Weekend. And, you know, you can only get into everything by going on Throwback Weekend, buying your ticket.
Throwbackweekend.com.
It's amazing. We have a Saturday, so we're going to have a Saturday afternoon thing. We're going to have the Saturday night thing at the distillery, and then Sunday tailgate. It's pretty amazing. This will be our fourth year, which I cannot
believe. Wisco Disco. The house.
Wisco Disco.
For Throwback Weekend. That is what I'm talking about.
I'm excited. I used to get excited going to buy my new Glarus, and I love my new Glarus, not hating.
Not
but
hating
the fact
at all.
That I'm going to have multiple coolers of Wisco Disco.
That's pretty hot. I got to tell you.
That's exciting.
That is pretty hot.
So moving on to
Vic bashing.
Vic.
Would you stop checking the audio? The audio is going. Everything's fine.
I can see it. Okay, so this is our first little Vic. This is I had some good stuff on Twitter today. I had a couple people unfollow me on Twitter.
Man, people just hating. People just hating on you, hating on Vic.
There's nothing I love more than somebody with a Sylvester the cat.
Oh, don't do it.
Okay,
don't do it.
Twitter pick unfollowing me. I'm sorry, dude. I put my real name on Twitter. I don't hide behind Sylvester the cat and a blue cover photo. Okay. So that said,
oh man,
when I covered the Steelers, okay, there, ding, 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 ding. He said Steelers. Yeah. So
Steelers in the first four words.
The business manager traveled with the team on the road. When the game was over, he opened a folding chair and a table at the locker room door. On the table, he placed a metal box. In it were the players' checks. As they left the locker room, they were handed their check. Immediately, the question every player had to answer to himself was, "Did I earn it?" That's the game I love. Pro football is real life.
Good Lord,
I really have no comment for that.
I mean. Did Vic, I mean...
Pro football is real life, Aaron. It's real life, bro. All right, here we go. There are two guys I'll watch. John Gruden and Ron Jaworski. Jaws gets a little too deep for my taste. But he usually hits the mark. Gruden is my favorite. He goes right to the heart of the analysis. I mean,
what? The analysis of this guy or that guy is awesome. This guy is great. This guy is awesome.
We're not making this up. Here's the thing. We're not making this up. I couldn't make this up if I tried. All right, here we go. The no huddle is a way of making sure the offense dictates the defense instead of the other way around. I'm not big on this kind of stuff, but I know everybody else is. And I know the comment section at the bottom of this comment column will now light up with hundreds of mind-numbing comments. If that's what entertains you, then go for it. Scheme doesn't entertain me. I like teams that play above the X's and O's. That's what I respect.
What the f*** does that even mean?
That's what
playing
he respects,
above
bro.
The X's
okay,
and O's.
Here's where it gets. Here's where we start the blasphemous things.
Oh,
okay.
Geez. Oh jeez.
I need antagonism. I need irritability. I need not nice. I need Ditka.
Oh no.
Okay.
Now wait. Before you blast him, I almost get this one. I will say, I get it. Like, because he's talking about rivalries, and he's like, you need a villain.
Okay. This is
Ditka's
not
the villain.
This is not your personal blog. Okay. That's Cheesehead TV. This is Packers.com. Okay?
Right.
I think that a certain historian, Lee Remmel, was rolling his grave that some writer wrote Mike Ditka. I'm sorry. It's ridiculous.
I think Lee Remmel's still with us, but unless it had been breaking news.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean it.
It's all right.
I bet Lee Remmel's not very happy about it. All right. Here's the last one, and it has to do with the Bears rivalry, and it gets me as upset as the other one, but it's actually worse.
Oh, no.
When the Green Bay Packers beat the Bears twice or even three times in a season, it's a successful season. That's from the reader, okay?
Right.
That's from the reader. I don't believe that. I don't believe only beating the Bears constitutes a successful season. I think that's a romantic notion to which some fans, especially older fans, wish to cling. Mike McCarthy says it's over and says it over and over. The Green Bay Packers are about winning championships. Now, okay, I feel really bad about calling Lee Remmel already dead, but my grandfather already is dead.
There
my great uncle's already dead.
Right.
And most of those fans, actually, if we beat the Bears twice,
everything was great.
It's good.
Man,
that's happy times.
And
you know what? That's because they had perspective.
And you know what?
Which is something that Vic Ketchman talks about all the time. He always talks about perspective. He's going to belittle you, you know the word perspective is going to come in there, right?
Right.
And so it's just so interesting to me that the perspective part is lost, but his willingness to blast older Packer fans that have more of a knowledge of the history of the NFL than his petty little mind has. it's just ridiculous.
Well, here's the thing to me. I'm on board with the idea that, yes, Mike McCarthy is about championships, but as a fan base that has gone through long stretches of ineptitude, be it between Curley and Vince or between Vince and Holmgren, I mean, there have been long stretches where all we wanted was to beat the Bears. Do we want to win championships?
Of course.
Of course we do. But if the team started sucking, as long as we beat the Bears, everything's great. Everything is great.
Well, it's just,
don't call it a romantic
notion. It's just a lack of understanding of the fundamental history of the Green Bay Packers. And to me, that's the slight. And if you're going to write, everybody's like, he's entitled to his own opinion. He is, but he is the head writer of the Green Bay Packers. People are saying to me on Twitter, Corey, why don't you just unfollow him? Why do you keep doing this to yourself? Why do you read him? I just don't read him. And it's like, because he represents the team. The team has decided to make him the symbol of our team.
He is the voice.
And he doesn't represent our team. He's a fool. He's a fool. I'm sorry. He's a fool. And my rant just actually knocked over the Packers hat. So I'm going
to
put that.
I will say, we try to represent Green Bay Packers fans, and we're kind of fools.
I am a fool, but I admit I'm a fool.
This is true. As do I. I admit you're a fool.
I don't like that the Packer hat keeps falling. All right. So what's so funny about this segment is it's either people's favorite segment.
Yep.
Or they unfollow me on Twitter.
Yeah, that's all good.
It's either one or the other.
It's good, man.
It's brilliant.
It's good. You're evoking a reaction. There's nothing wrong with that.
The last one really bothers me. I wish I just would have stuck with the last one.
Yeah.
Because I still feel bad about the Lee Remmel thing, but I'm going to get over that. I just love Lee Remmel, and I just wasn't.
You're upset. You're passionate. It's okay.
I equate Lee Remmel
dude.
With my grandfather, and so it's like it's a little bit too much. And Cliff Kristol is amazing. And that's the thing. It's like I don't always crap on the Packers Digital. Packers Digital has really taken it to this complete
new level.
Okay. Absolutely. They're doing some great work. I just don't understand. Is anybody reading what they're putting out and holding people accountable for what they say to fans. Because I don't think that's happening.
Here's my thing. Why isn't Cliff Crystal doing it? Like, I get
he probably doesn't want to. Because he's probably sick of answering all the fans from JS Online.
It's probably true.
The thing is, Cliff Crystal, though, deserves that. Like, the problem
he's
with
earned
Vic,
it. He's
Vic
earned
has
it.
Earned nothing.
When it comes to the Packers, that's
yes,
true.
I don't care what you did for the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jacksonville Jaguars are a losing team. No one cares, okay? And I don't care about the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I don't care about the AFC, so stop talking about them.
Word up, home slices.
I'm going to go back to switching cameras.
Well, it's time to roll a video anyway, so that's good. Let's do it.
Welcome back to Mike's Best and Worst, the Week 4 edition of the 2014 regular season. Lots to choose from in the good column for a change. I'm going to go with Mike's coming out in 12 personnel for the first two offensive series. Went the whole way in the opening series for a touchdown. Great use of the tight ends. Got Richard Rodgers involved early. Young guy getting his first two professional catches. Much had been made about the staid, stale offensive personnel from McCarthy throughout the beginning of the season. Great job switching it up. On the bad side of the ledger, I'm going to go with James Starks getting zero carries. This is a guy who's been averaging 5 yards per carry. He didn't even see the field on Sunday against the Bears. And I get they didn't run the ball that much, only 17 times. But Eddie Lacy continues to struggle, continues to hunt and peck rather than put his foot in the ground and go. That's exactly what Starks is doing. I would have gotten him in there, but that's a nitpick. Great job all around from McCarthy in Week 4.
Now,
Mike McCarthy watches that, bro.
Apparently, because to Mike's credit, in his press conference, his most recent press conference, he said he regretted not getting James Starks carries. So, you know, props to Mike. I know in the heat of the game, guys are going in, guys are going out. You know, Starks was barely in there, but heck, they barely ran any plays. That's the thing. When you're being so uber efficient and scoring and not punting, some guys are going to get left on the sidelines. Some guys aren't going to see the field. Some guys aren't going to get a ton of touches. But you got to get Starks involved. And here's the thing. When you look at, as I mentioned in that piece, when you look at how Starks is doing in regards to, there isn't a whole lot there blocking-wise up front. He is doing a great job of putting his foot in the ground and getting what's there, what's available, seeing the cutback, getting forward movement and gaining yards, where a number of times when you watch Eddie, there's, I counted, I think, at least 5 times in the first half where it's zone block maybe, or he's running up behind a guy and there's a lane. You see just a sliver of a lane. And last year he found that and he would burst through. Last year I thought he was one of the best big backs I've ever seen at finding just the tiniest crease inside the wash and just bolting through it.
Yeah, but don't you feel like the problem with Eddie Lacy is really our offense and the fact that we are not an offense that lets the runner, like he's the type of runner, he's got to get 10 touches.
Yeah, he's got to get, no.
If he doesn't get 10 touches, how can you expect him to produce anything? Yeah, he's got to get going and get going.
That I agree with.
And because of that,
right.
I think that our offense gets in Eddie Lacy's way. I do.
I can see that. I mean, I understand what you're saying as far as getting him in. He is built to be a workhorse, you know? And I think that's how Mike wants to use him. Thus why James Starks doesn't get any carries. But at the same time, if you're not producing, then you have to look at other alternatives. Because as I was just saying, what he keeps doing is coming up behind a blocker and trying to find the optimal angle. Like he gets a number of times on Sunday, he gets behind a guy and he's trying to triangulate. Like, okay, there's a guy over here. There's a safety over here. If I go this way, if I go that, just go. The yards will come. You don't always have to hit a home run.
But when you were looking at the tape, which I've not yet looked at, how is our run blocking?
Not great.
I mean, isn't that another large part of it?
It's not great, but to that point, and this is what I was saying before about Starks. Starks is averaging 5 yards a carry with the same blocking. You know, the guy is playing lights out. So the yardage
is there.
Yeah, but
isn't that, didn't that used to be Winston Moss's job as assistant head coach to make sure guys get the ball? Because as you said, McCarthy with calling plays and being offensive coordinator, you're just in it, you call the stuff, but whose job is it to make sure that guys...
It could be Sam Gash's job.
Just hey, coach, by the way, you know you haven't put Starks in yet.
Right.
Well, hey, coach, you know what, you haven't done this.
And sometimes that is on the
assistant
position
coach.
The position coach.
Yeah.
Oftentimes will say, like the tight end coach, I know oftentimes they'll say, we want Rodgers and Corliss, and Bostic still hasn't seen the field, which I find interesting, but we'll talk about that later. The varied personnel... Finally, after a week of people talking about, you know, the staid formations, and he still kind of got back to that a little bit, but comes out in 12 personnel. He's got two tight ends, one running back, two wide receivers. Loved seeing that. And he started the second drive with it, although then he went back to his Tiger personnel. But I loved seeing the two tight ends on the field. Loved Richard Rodgers' adjustment on the 43-yard pass, the second play of the game from Rodgers. That's great. That's what you wanted to see out of this kid, and I think you're going to see more of it. Rodgers mentioned it today on his radio show. It was interesting to see Mike kind of respond that way, but still, in true Mike McCarthy fashion, still use predominantly, you know, what they've been working on throughout the preseason, throughout camp. He's not going to change drastically, but he did just enough to vary it up, and he used his personnel, which, hey, I'm all for it if it produces the results we saw on Sunday. And then I want to play everyone a little something. If you follow me on Twitter and or Vine, you've probably seen this, but I just wanted to highlight it. David Bakhtiari, he was very good for the Packers last year as a rookie. I think he obviously came in. Not a lot of people expected much out of him. I know a lot of Packer fans were worried when he got in the start of the year, and he held his own. Holy cow, this kid... He has improved exponentially. This play I'm showing you guys right here, he gets beat initially. He gets beat inside. And a lot of tackles, this would have been big time trouble for Rodgers. But he recovers so well, pushes this guy back. I mean, this is top flight play from your left tackle, and that's exactly what you want. And that wasn't there last year. Last year, That's an instant pressure on Rodgers. Not this year. His strength has improved. You saw there's one play, I didn't get to put it up, but where he just absolutely manhandles a guy in pass pro. I mean, this guy has absolutely started to take that jump from year one to year two that you want to see. And then switching over. Do we have time? Yeah.
Well, no. You didn't talk about Randall Cobb.
Oh, true. Good point. Randall Cobb. The return of Randall Cobb. Gotta love him. Here's the thing. I've gotten to know Randall a little bit off the field. And, you know, earlier this year, I just sent him a message and I said, look, the tape is there. It shows that you are open. Your time will come. And there it was. You saw it on Sunday. I mean, there were numerous times in the Detroit game where, and I think our buddy, our writer here, Zach, pointed out a couple times on Twitter where, yeah, Aaron's staring down Jordy Nelson. Cobb is open in the slot. Like, there's a third and two in Detroit where Cobb does a double move on the guy in the slot, and he's gone. Like, it's a touchdown. And Rodgers just didn't see him. So it's been there. And what you saw on Sunday was finally, I mean, I guess, you know, more of an emphasis on getting Cobb involved, especially you look at his first touchdown. I love the design of that play. You had Corliss outside, which drew a safety. You've got Jordy Nelson in the slot, so Kyle Fuller was on him, and the other safety was over the top of Nelson in the middle of the field because he's in the slot. You know, Cobb runs that wheel route outside to the end zone. He's one-on-one, and he absolutely, he's a terrible corner, but he beats him, you know, by a good step, and great throw from Rodgers, touchdown. And that's how you need to use these guys. I loved it. I'm glad to see Cobb get, you know, back on the horse, so to speak, and I think we can expect to see a lot more of this going forward. And speaking of the receivers, I do want to point this out because I think this is an amazing stat. Jordy and Randall, the first receiving duo since 1969 with 100-plus receiving yards and two touchdowns each. First time since Carroll Dale and Boyd Dowler did it in a 45-28 win over the St. Louis Cardinals way back in 1969. That's a long ass time ago.
That's a long time ago.
That's so congratulations.
It's still in the new NFL time. Technically.
I guess.
Technically.
I mean, almost the 70s, but yeah.
It's still the Super Bowl was happening.
So yeah, congratulations to them. That's all I'm saying. Oh, we got 3 minutes. Do we want to do defense now or should we do it later?
It's completely up to you. I'm still actually like, I'm still not very happy about Vic Ketchman right now. And I can't let it go. And I don't know why. The Bears thing just put me over the top. Like, I literally, in this whole time you've been talking, I have been writing a letter to Joan, who heads up Packers Digital, where I'm going to put in edited clips of all the times. And then I realized how crazy I was by wanting to do that. So I'm sorry. I just was daydreaming.
It's all right.
I love Randall Cobb. He's been doing a lot.
I love how you just daydream through my segments. That's good. It's good. It's nice.
No, just that Randall Cobb segment.
I feel the support.
Just the Randall Cobb segment.
You know, fuck. We'll just talk about the defense real quick here. Personnel or scheme? Everybody wants to know. I get this about 10 times a day on Twitter. While it is both, and make no mistake, it is both personnel and scheme, I find it maddening that Dom Capers insists on coming out in his damn 2-4-5 alignment. Whatever it is. The 2-4. It's driving me insane. This insistence on two down linemen. And I guess they feel that Peppers can substitute as a defensive lineman, even though now he's a linebacker, et cetera, et cetera. It drives me nuts. And Ryan Pickett signed with the Texans this past week. I did a little asking around. Yeah, there was never any discussion of bringing Ryan Pickett back at all. None. Why? Because they're in that damn nickel so much.
Uh-huh.
If you don't have a guy over the center, then what's the point? You don't ever employ a nose tackle. Well, except for LaTroy Guyon, who's an absolute washout. Oh my God. It's funny because I know a couple of Vikings fans who told me this summer that he was not a nose tackle. The Vikings tried to play him at nose tackle a few times, and he was a complete washout. And lo and behold, they were right.
Yikes.
So, yeah, the 2-4 stuff is just driving me insane. It's driving me nuts. And you saw the Bears just absolutely smash it down their throat. The Bears, who haven't been able to run on anyone.
I mean, that's something we haven't said. I mean, we're what, 32nd in
32nd in the league.
Awesome.
Versus the run.
You know what, though? Ever since the Brett Favre era, I really don't care about defense. Like, offense wins games. Like, I care about it. Right. Who's my favorite player?
Slow down.
Tremont Williams. Okay?
Yes, I know.
So, obviously, I care about defense. But at the same time, like, come on. If Aaron Rodgers... Okay.
We need to take a break.
Before we take a break, Nagels, if Aaron Rodgers played every game, okay, like he did last Sunday, which I know is an impossibility.
Right.
But if he did... Would you even need a defense?
You know what we're dangerously close to getting back to?
The answer is no.
You know what we're dangerously close to getting back to? Why run when you can win?
There you go. There you go.
We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Tom Pelissero from USA Today. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back live on the line with Mr. Tom Pelissero from the USA Today. Friend of show. Tom, how the hell are you tonight?
Well, I feel good right now because I think this is my annual visit. Once a year, right? That's all the more of me you guys could pick.
That's it. Well, you know, we're afraid, Tom. We're afraid. We have long history with you, sir, and every time you come on the show, everything breaks.
Yeah, Aaron said, we got Tom Pelissero. I'm like, oh, my God, the internet's going to break tonight.
Well, then you guys complain that you can't find any photos of me online from the past 5 years. This is intentional. I want to be as much the Phantom as I possibly can.
Well, mission accomplished, sir. All right, let's get down to brass tacks. Does Teddy Bridgewater play on Thursday night?
It's a good question. I think that physically he'll be able to go. When you talk about a low-grade, high ankle sprain, especially for a quarterback, that's probably going to, in general, be a non-issue for you. But my bigger concern would be, do you want to throw Teddy Bridgewater out there in a week where he took no substantive reps in practice? If this were a normal week and he had the full 6 days, 7 days from a Sunday to a Sunday, I don't think there'd be any question that he would go. But you've got to weigh the pluses and minuses here. Number one, is he fully healthy? Is there any sort of a mobility issue as he continues to rehab from that injury? And then secondly, if he hasn't worked out at all in practice, do you really want to put him out there? He's a smart guy, but you've got to be careful, particularly the young quarterback.
I mean, look no further than Jay Cutler's second interception on Sunday against the Packers. I mean, that was the product of Cutler and Marshall not practicing all week. I mean, Cutler had practiced, obviously, but Marshall had not been out there. And these are two seasoned veterans. That, to me, that's the perfect point. I just can't see it. I just can't see a guy not practicing and then playing on Thursday night.
No, and that's I think, where I think a lot of the evaluation is going to come down to tomorrow. It's a walk-through practice. At least if you can get onto the field, go through some sort of physical reps, maybe that gives you a little bit better chance. But, guys, I'm just thinking back 2 years ago. I feel like this is a flashback because right. It was a short week leading up to that playoff game. So it was a Saturday game. And all week it was, Ponder thinks he's going to go. Should be no problem. They listed him as questionable. And then, sure enough, Saturday afternoon, he comes out, throws three warm-up passes, and Joe Webb's out there throwing four hoppers to his receivers all day.
Good times, man. Those are some great memories back when the Packers could win a playoff game. Of course, it took going against Joe Webb, but they could do it, darn it. So talk to me about these running backs. I mean, obviously the whole Adrian Peterson situation, we don't need to get into that. But so they've thrust these two guys into a more prominent role. And, I mean, they're not world beaters, but they can produce.
Matt Asiata is one of my favorite stories in the NFL. You know, he's a guy who had an injury-riddled college career at Utah. I think he had multiple significant knee injuries. So he's like 24 years old when he comes out, doesn't get drafted, no signing bonus. There was like a $1,000 signing bonus. It wasn't much. Comes in as a fullback to the Vikings. Flashed a little bit. I remember that in training camp. You saw a couple of moments of him. This is back in like 2010. You saw a couple of moments and said, okay, well, maybe there's something to it there, but spends about a couple of weeks on the practice squad, is out of the game, is back working in a factory. He's married with at least one kid, just trying to support his family, gets a second chance on a futures contract, and all of a sudden now he's been a contributor for him for 3 years. Now he's out scoring three touchdowns in a game last week. You know, so you've got him, and then you've got Jerick McKinnon, who's kind of on the other end of the spectrum. Asiata's just a grinder, a tough guy, not necessarily a top-end athlete for the position, whereas McKinnon, you know, he comes from a small school, fourth-round pick. I was told that there were some teams that worked him out as a cornerback. So if you think about the quickness and the speed that you need to be able to play on the perimeter in a running back now, as he figures out the game, you know, he played some tailback, he played some option quarterback, he played some safety in college. As he learns to actually be a true running back, and as North Turner brings him along, that guy's got a chance to be pretty good.
Yeah, and I was watching the game against the Falcons, and I saw him break a few, and he looks great in space, and I'm like, why? And even before I asked the question, I should have known, because I put it out there on Twitter. I was like, why are they fooling around with anything else? This kid's got everything. And I was quickly told by a million Vikings fans that he can't protect the quarterback to save a lick, like, at all.
Yeah, and he's not a big guy, and he just doesn't have a whole lot of experience doing that. He was the quarterback for, you know, chunks of his career, but, man, he's a tremendous athlete, and they wanted to get those guys. I think you saw the draft class this year for Rick Spielman profile a little bit differently. Guys like Anthony Barr, like Jerick McKinnon, not at all polished products, but guys who were kind of raw athletes who they trusted Mike Zimmer and North Turner to be able to bring along. And I think that what you're seeing here, with all the turmoil the Vikings have gone through over the first month of the season, they have a coaching staff that, unlike the one that preceded it, can take some of these situations, can plug some holes, can actually elevate the level of play schematically and with the game plan that they put together on Sundays.
Well, that's the thing. You watch that game, and especially defensively, you mentioned Mike Zimmer. What a great job he's done with that defense. I mean, he's got some pieces to play with, obviously. Yeah, the rookie Barr has been impressive. Harrison Smith, I mean, what a difference maker this guy is. And I don't think he's getting a lot of pub nationally, maybe because it's the Vikings. They haven't really had a ton of national exposure yet this season, but other than the off-field stuff. But, I mean, Harrison Smith is playing at an extremely high level.
Yeah, Smith is a difference maker. He's one of those safeties who they call him the eraser. He's one guy who it doesn't really matter who you play with him, because he can make the other guy better. ESPN, I think that Xavier Rhodes, first-round pick last year, came on down the stretch.
Agreed.
Still is, you know, can be inconsistent, but he's one of those really long-levered, long-armed cornerbacks. He's built to play a press man sort of a coverage, which fits well with what Zimmer wants to do. Has had some really strong turns against some of the better receivers he's faced, and I think held himself, you know, acquitted himself pretty well last week, getting matched at times with Julio Jones. They've got those two guys. You know, and then the front seven, you're kind of, it's a lot of projections. You know, you're hoping Everson Griffin can come along and be a 60-snap-a-game guy, and you're hoping that Sharif Floyd is going to take a step forward. They're without Chad Greenway right now. Let's not right. forget, too, as you look at this Vikings team, it's not just a matter of the quarterbacks being nicked up. They lost Kyle Rudolph. They lost Brandon Fusco, who might, at this point, be their best offensive lineman. They cut Jerome Simpson because he's an idiot and got arrested again and didn't tell anybody about it. You know, they've had a variety of different things. And then, not even mention Adrian Peterson, they've had a bunch of stuff that they've had to deal with. But look at them sitting there right now, 2-2 going against the 2-2 Packers team.
Yeah. What about Khalil over there at left tackle? I think he had a better game against Atlanta, but he's had some really rough stretches so far early on in the season.
Yep, I mean, he was a liability, without a doubt. You look at that second game of the season, he's the guy who gets that field goal block right before halftime that completely turns the tide against New England. He's a guy who's so naturally physically talented. I don't compare him to Bryant McKinney, but they do have this in common. They're both such good athletes that they don't have to put 100% into it, and they can still be pretty decent, and they can still make a lot of money in the NFL because the position they play is that important. For Khalil, it's a matter of, does he want to be just a fine, okay, to good player, or does he want to be great? Because he has the physical skill set to be great. He's got to apply himself, learn how to be a professional here in year three, because this is not a new phenomenon. He was not as good last year as he was as a rookie either.
So, looking at Mike Zimmer, looking at what he did to the Packers and Aaron Rodgers last year when he was in Cincinnati, do you think he follows that same blueprint? Do you think he sits back and plays coverage? We've mentioned Smith. We've mentioned Rhodes. He's got some guys on the edge there that might be able to get after the quarterback a little bit. Do you think he sits back in coverage, or you think he comes after Aaron?
I think that he probably plays Aaron the way that he's played him in the past. And, you know, the one thing that the Vikings have going for him because of Rhodes and Smith, I argue that they might have a better secondary than Cincinnati did. The Bengals' front seven, you know, they lost Geno Atkins, I guess, early last season. But when that front seven is healthy, that's one of the better units in all of football, and they're much better than the Vikings. But on the back end, you've got guys that you feel comfortable with, that you're going to be able to play. They're going to be able to match up. They're going to be able to play man. They certainly have plenty of zone experience, having played under Leslie Frazier. The biggest weakness on the team probably has been the corner opposite Rhodes, but Josh Robinson, you know, has had some decent moments too. Just Aaron, though, you know, you look at him in the Chicago game, he did not play well against Detroit, although there were a lot of other things going. Randall Cobb's dropping the ball, Eddie Lacy's fumbling, having a return, somebody had a false start that killed one drive. He had a lot of issues in that game, but you go from there to what Aaron did against Chicago, and he's always done it to the Bears, and I think he's done it a lot to the Vikings too, because they played a similar sort of a scheme under the previous regime. When that guy is on, I don't think that there is a better quarterback right now in the entire NFL than Aaron Rodgers, and so they'll absolutely be stressed to be able to keep up. And this, I think the key thing to look at is, does Eddie Lacy get going? Does the running game get going? Because Aaron Rodgers, if he's always in second and five, third and two, you know, forget it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, man, you are an absolute legend for joining us. Nothing broke. It's amazing.
Not yet.
Not yet, but we're about to hang up. So, Tom, thank you so much for joining us, man. Have a great night.
Thanks, Tom.
We'll talk to you next year.
That's Tom Bellisario here live at Packer Transplants from the USA Today, formerly ESPN Twin Cities, formerly Green Bay Press Gazette.
Formerly Green Bay Press Gazette.
That's how we do.
That's some hotness.
That's how we do.
I didn't want to tell Tom on the phone.
Right.
But once he started covering the Vikings,
uh-oh,
I actually had to unfollow him on Twitter. But it's not because it's... And I didn't make an announcement.
No, it's good. Don't ever do that.
And I'm just announcing it now, and I just am announcing it because I don't want him to take it personally, which I know he doesn't, because he's got tons of followers.
Yeah, and he's a professional.
But it literally, I just couldn't.
Like, because what would happen is I would respond to him as if he was a Vikings fan. Do you know what I mean? And like, I would say rude things on Twitter to him. And then I would realize, like,
what am I doing?
Dude, the guy gets paid to do this. You're just being a
douche.
Yeah, you're just being a douche because he put something about the Vikings. And so then I was like, you know what? I have to unfollow. Because if I don't unfollow him, he's just going to be like, why is this Packer fan such an idiot? Which he probably thinks anyway, but...
No. He
you should have
you
seen
are.
Some of the things I said,
I
Nagler.
Saw the things you said, dude. I remember.
I would have thought if I was an idiot if I would have done that. But yeah, I did have to unfollow him. But you know what? It's great to have him on when we're talking about the Vikings.
The Vikings. He's a part,
I don't care about the Vikings. And we need somebody like Tom to tell us the things we should care about.
And he did. He broke it down because that's what he does. He did the do.
Dude, I will say he is looking sexy on NFL Network. Okay?
He was recently on NFL Network.
I was trying to find images of him. Right. And I couldn't find any. Of course, like, there's all these images from when he did our podcast like 5 years ago. And I'm like, I'm watching these videos and I'm like, damn, Tom's looking good on NFL Network.
Which
that's
is
the producer in me.
Which
bro.
Is surprising since he's like just his wife has just had a baby and he hasn't slept in like 3 months.
He looked great and he had like a great comment. Like, the guy was like, thanks for being on. And he immediately had a response. Like, he's a pro.
Total pro. All right. Speaking of. Total pro.
We have to talk about...
This is not total pro.
We have to go back to Morgan Burnett, dude, because we still have a video.
Oh, all right. You want to do the defense. Right.
I mean, I'm not trying to like...
Well, okay. We'll go back to the defense real quick. First, before we get to Burnett, why can't this defense set an edge? Why? This has been an ongoing problem for years. For years, people! It doesn't matter if it's... And you know how I know it's the defense? It's not the players.
Do you know who could set the edge?
It's the defense.
Do you know a player that could set the edge?
Aaron Campman.
He created the Lambeau Leap. That's a player who could
Leroy
set
Butler.
The edge. Leroy Butler could set the edge.
But it doesn't matter who... It doesn't matter if it's Clay Matthews. It doesn't matter if it's Julius Peppers. They cannot set the edge. And it's been going on for years. And I want to show you an example now. You're talking about Burnett. What... In the name of Holy Lord above, is this? I just got to ask. And I'm sorry if you're listening later on the podcast. We are showing Morgan Burnett comes down onto the line of scrimmage, lined up right next to a defensive lineman. I guess he's trying to take up a gap, but he like puts his butt into the dude, and I guess it's called the butt block? I don't know what the hell he's doing. And then there goes the runner.
He turns
right on by him.
See ya.
For like 8 yards for a first down. I mean, what are they coaching up there? What the hell? Mike McCarthy, like, stresses fundamentals. Where in training camp was the butt block to take up the C gap? What drill was that? I want to know, where did this develop? Oh, my. God, it makes me so angry. All right. I'm done.
Are you ready for rookie report?
I'm ready for the rookie report.
All right.
Welcome back to the Rookie Report for Week 4 of the 2014 NFL regular season. We're going to start off with Richard Rodgers getting his first two receptions as an NFL player, one of which was a gorgeous 43-yard bomb from Aaron Rodgers. Overall, though, still needs some major work in the run-blocking department. Got pushed back way too often. C-plus for Rodgers in Week 4. Next up, we have Corey Linsley, the rookie center, who... had two questionable holding calls go against him, although the one that brought back the amazing touchdown from Rodgers to Adams was probably a good call. You can't slam a guy to the ground like that. Gotta know your own strength. Overall, though, a great job in pass protection from Linsley. However, not great work in the running game. Not a ton of push against, let's face it, not a great defensive front. Linsley gets a C in Week 4. Next up, we have Davante Adams, who had a nice bounce-back week after a really bad showing in Detroit. Good footwork on a comeback route, but he still needs to hit the weight room in the offseason. He had a stiff arm where the defender just drove him right out of bounds. That's a play we've seen Jordy Nelson make time and again, where he puts the guy on his back and walks into the end zone. Adams has to get better in that regard, but overall, a solid showing and a C for Adams. Mike Pennell played 22 snaps and basically got pushed around all day. Definitely not the run-stuffing help that Green Bay desperately needs. This kid gets a D on Sunday. Aha Clinton Dix had a nice game in run support. Fits well, but has to wrap up, and that nasty habit he showed in college of trying to go around guys rather than through or to the spot showed up again on tape. But overall, a good performance, solid in coverage, a B- from Haha Clinton Dix. The preseason darling Jayrone Elliott saw the field and did make a tackle. However, overall, he was pretty pedestrian. Nothing against the run, nothing generated in the pass rush, a C- for Elliott. Everybody's favorite rookie wideout, Jeff Janis, saw the field for one play. In a spread formation, he ran one route. Got to give this kid an incomplete. But way to go, Rook. Way to get back on the field. And there you have it, the rookie report for week four of the 2014 NFL regular season.
And there you have it, the rookie report. And to answer your question, Steve, on the live chat, hey, man, I'm with you. I loved it. I loved watching it. I loved the fact that all the Bear could do when he got up and saw the flag is talk junk to Lindsley on the ground after he had just got owned. But you can't do it, especially when he's got one arm and he takes him to the ground. All the ref sees is the arm. If he had been inside with two hands and pushed him to the ground, doesn't get called. But when you've got one arm, and that's what I said, I think in one of the posts this week, you got to know your own strength, dude. You can push him, and if he falls, fine. But if you take him to the ground with your arm, with one arm, that's going to get called 98% of the time. You know when it doesn't get called? And this is funny.
When's that?
Is when Tom Crabtree takes a Steeler in the Super Bowl and throws him on the ground. That should have been called and wasn't, and it's one of the greatest highlights ever.
Yeah, but it used to be like, I remember going to games and seeing Craig Newsom take out wide receivers like
that.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely. No.
That was very awesome.
This is a very recent thing. This is your new NFL.
That was awesome. That was my favorite thing.
That's what I mean.
Like, oh, how do I take the guy to the play? Dude, I just slam him to the ground.
Like I just said to Steve, I loved it. I absolutely loved it, but I get why it was called. That's the NFL today. They're going to call that every time.
Yes, the refs were terrible all day. We know.
You know, and they were. Okay, and I'm going to address this real quick. I hope, and I'm sure no one has, but I hope people will go back and notice any content I have produced out of that Bears game, whether it's here on Cheesehead TV. Now, this is after the game, not during the game, because during the game I'm all upset, and I'm talking about it. But after the game, on Twitter, Facebook, Vine, here on Cheesehead TV, I have not once mentioned the refs. You know why? Because I don't want to make it about the refs. They sucked for both teams. End of story.
Yeah.
And that was it.
For both teams equally.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it was horrific to watch. I don't want to think about it. The Packers overcame it and
good
won the game.
Good teams find a way to win no matter what obstacles are put in front of them.
Bingo.
One example, the number one example in my mind, is the Super Bowl.
Yes.
It was one of those things. I was like, how is he going to drive down the field right now in the biggest game in his career? Like, how is he going to do this? And that whole run. Yeah. Good teams find a way to win.
And well, here's the thing. It's after the game, or even during, was it during the game? During the game, Zach tweeted out something great about, Cutler in the last X amount of games. He's thrown this many interceptions. And some Bears fan tweets back, well, yeah, he should have four touchdowns, but you're not going to talk about that. Perfect example, man. That's a loser mentality right there. Yeah, he should be president of the United States, but he's not. You know, whatever he should have, would have, could have. That's a loser mentality. So, yes, the refs sucked. Let's move on.
So wait.
I just said let's move on.
Okay, this is a co-show, okay?
I just said let's move on.
Look, let me ask you this, though. Do I have a loser mentality because Vic Ketchman should not be a Packer writer?
I knew this about Vic. No, you have a loser mentality because you keep bringing up Vic.
Okay.
I don't know.
I think it's time for...
I think it is.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere!
That's right! It's This Week in the Packers Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. This week, I'd like to highlight a post from Brady Augustine over at GreenBayPackerNation.com. And I could not endorse this more if I tried. A post entitled, "Don't Overlook the Vikings." Go check it out. I think Corey's got a little something there. That's it. Go find it. Don't overlook the Vikings over at GreenBayPackerNation.com. Every point he makes is spot on. Spot on. Excellent post. Go check it out. Go check out Green Bay Packer Nation.
Green Bay Packer Nation are killing it on Facebook, too, by the way.
Hell yeah, they are.
And I just want to say something to Brady Augustine. If you don't mind putting a little Facebook like for Cheesehead TV on Facebook, we'd appreciate it.
Corey's got the promotion in motion, baby. Mean, always moving, always grooving.
I like what they do. I cannot believe it. They've just killed on Facebook. They're killing on Facebook. Yeah, it's awesome. They're amazing. It's really good for them. And I kind of miss Brady's videos, I have to say. He used to put out videos all the time. He's doing a ton of videos. And
now he's just dominating Facebook. He doesn't need to do video. He doesn't need it.
Videos. Speaking of videos, if you guys like Rookie Report and Mike's Best and Worst, please, please, please subscribe to them on YouTube.
We're begging you, people.
Please. And then, because we want to know that people like them, and we need people to share them. And, you know, it sounds like we're begging, because I don't normally beg for that kind of stuff. But it's like, Aaron and I work on the videos all week, and we're really all about them, and we want to do more of them. But, you know, we want them to make an impact.
Yeah. I mean, and here's the thing. Let us know what you think. I mean, Rookie Report has, like, 7 comments on the site at this point. Let us know, man. Blast away.
Because you know Cal will comment.
I saw someone was taking exception to the penal comment about him getting pushed around. I mean, he was assignment sure. He seemed to know what he was doing, but he got pushed around. I'm sorry. But everybody did. That's the thing. It's like, if we had done a veteran report, I would have talked about, you know, every guy on that line getting pushed around. Hell, Mike Daniels got pushed around. So, yeah, let us know, people. This is why we do this. We do this for you. It's catharsis for us as well, but we do it for you.
Okay, so Ryan has a question. How you favorite? You don't have to favorite the videos on YouTube. If you go to our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/CheeseheadTV, you can get to it off our website. Or what I do is I post the link to our YouTube page. All you have to do is subscribe to the videos. And then that way it shows how many people are subscribing. And then what happens is when we post the videos, which I post them earlier than I post them on the blog, you'll get them right away. So it's not favoriting them. It's just subscribing to them. Right now, we have like a little over 600 subscribers over the years that we've done
this. Do we really?
Yeah, we're just pushing the videos now where we haven't in the past.
Right.
Very true. And we want to do more. And with Aaron doing SI Now, it's like it's a good tandem.
I love it. I love doing the video stuff. We love working on the videos. We actually are talking about doing a couple more ideas in the pipeline. Hopefully, we'll be doing, like right now, we've got 2 a week. Maybe we'll do them 4 a week by the end of the year. That's the hope anyway. So, check it out. Subscribe. Good times.
Good times.
And that's another pack of transplants in the books, ladies and gentlemen.
Number 118.
Now, wait. Before we go, because we got ridiculed. We got ridiculed for not doing this last week.
Nobody cares about my predictions, because my predictions are like...
Everybody cares about your predictions.
No one cares, because it's either 37-0, 24-0, or 14-0. Okay? Those are your options.
Well, which is it this week, Corey?
This week, against the Vikings?
Yeah.
It's got to be 24-0.
Oh, man. All right.
Dude, how sweet would it be if we won 24-0,
it would be sweet.
By the way?
It would be sweet. But that's not going to happen.
I love shutouts.
Now, here's the thing. Slide back and listen to the news. Here we go. If Christian Ponder's the starter, 24-13 Packers.
You really think Christian Ponder's going to be the starter? There's no way.
A very good possibility.
There's no way. They're going to start.
If they're not going to start Bridgewater and Castle's on IR.
They're
going to
at least start Bridgewater.
They have no. Like Tom just said, do you not listen to the guests?
Who? What?
Exactly. If Bridgewater plays and he's effective.
I'll bet you $100 Bridgewater plays. I'm not shaking your hand.
Yeah, he knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I like that came out of your mouth. And I'm like, well, there's Madeline's books for the semester. Well, so much for that. If Bridgewater plays and he's effective and he's not pulled like after the first series because his ankle's all screwed up. 24-21 Packers.
I just want to respond. Packer Backer says, is Vic going to be a guest on Packer Transplants? Honestly, if Vic was a guest on the show, I would be very respectful and nice because I'm a pro. Okay? Don't laugh, Niggles. I'm a pro.
If he came on this show,
I wish we could just like smash cut back to your rant in the first half of the show. Look, that's all I wish we could do.
Here's the thing,
because I'm a pro.
If he had the balls to come on the show, I'd actually be very respectful of that. Because
well, you'd
New
be
York,
impressed.
I would be very impressed.
You'd be impressed
because in New York, that's what you do.
Well, Cass, here's the thing.
That's what you do in this media town. Just because somebody
while we're going long here, let me just lay this out here. So I go to the freaking the family night, right?
Yeah,
and I'm up there. I'm in the press box. It's like a once a year thing, a little bone that the Packers throw me. Well, we'll credential you for the crap no one cares about. So great. Thanks, guys. So I'm up there, right? And I see Joan, head of digital media, and she says, oh, and she's eating dinner with Vic in the press box, right? At their little table there. Uh-oh. And she says, have you met Vic? And I say, and I have always, by the way, been very nice to Vic, very professional. I emailed him when he first started and said, really respect what you do, et cetera, et cetera. Corey's the ranter here. I've always been
very
respectful.
What's funny is I have been the ranter, and everybody said, Corey, be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. Mm. And now everybody sees, and I've like shined a light on this troll, and now they see how bad he is.
So anyway, so we're there, and Vic absolutely snubs me. I mean, this is after we've talked at the combine.
I mean, dude, you've
we've
just
been very, very nice to each other, very friendly.
Cheesehead TV, bro.
Well, that's the thing. She's like, he's with Cheesehead TV. So I'd like to thank you, Corey, because it's clear that in his mind, Cheesehead TV hates him.
That's not the first or last time
that your opinions have colored my reputation.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And but, let's not forget,
but
Nagler,
wait,
who has the Domofsky? Okay, it's not me that has the Domofsky SEO article on the top.
No, I hear you. But here's the thing. So when that happened, because I was just like, yeah, Vic, of course, yeah, I'll read your stuff. Hi, nothing.
Yeah, hi.
Like nothing. Right? From that moment, I was all in with Corey. I'll tell you, if that hadn't happened, I probably would, like, the Vic bashing that we do every week probably wouldn't happen.
You
and
wouldn't
or
have condoned it?
I wouldn't have condoned it.
You would have editorially put an
I would have,
to that
I just would have left the stage at that point. But because of that, dude, screw that guy. I've been nothing but professional and a gentleman, and he does that, I'm out.
Oh, so don't back up your buddy. Just wait till you
I
get...
I back you up, but if it's like up. Specifically,
that was
give
supposed
me
to
something.
Make me, the funny thing about that story is I believe it was supposed to make me feel better, and it didn't.
No, it wasn't supposed to make me feel better. I was just like, why we hate Vic.
Oh, okay. There that was go. Clear.
Yeah.
All right, let's end the show now.
Should we end it now?
Yes.
Let's talk about something else. Anybody else got a question on the live chat?
No one has.
I'm just going to keep talking. Here's the thing. Corey's going to have to start pressing buttons
and
cut me off.
I can cut you off.
So go ahead, dude. I dare you.
I'm not
I
doing
double
it.
Dog
no,
dare you.
I know, because I want to thank
end
everybody.
The show.
I want to thank everybody.
All right. Here we go. Well, that'll do it for this week's episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank our guest, Tom Bellisario, not to mention everyone for joining us in the live chat. Seriously, guys, you are the best. You put up with us. I have no idea why. Tonight, Jamie on Twitter, I need Packer transplants. The idea that even one person out there needs this show is mind-blowing to me. So thank you so much. We do it for you, Green Bay Packers fans. You are the absolute best in the whole wide world. You know this. We know this. Go, Pack, go.
Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out, any of that that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason. Okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?
Shh.